Any doctor will tell you that the business of keeping people healthy is as much a vocation as it is a profession. But whilst most doctors in the health service at least have the luxury of focusing just on human beings, the role of veterinarians can be as varied as the many animals that vets actually deal with. So how much more challenging in this medical field when you have to deal with not one but many species? To discuss this question and others, I'm joined by three prominent members of the veterinary industry. They are UK and Ireland Marketing Manager of Royal Canin Pet Food and Vice President of Veterinary Ireland, Dr. John O'Connor. Equine vet and chairperson of the Equine Committee of Veterinary Ireland is Rosalinda Devereaux. And farm animal vet and co-owner of Clerken Veterinary Hospitals in County Cavan is Frank Clerken. You're all very welcome to the programme. Thank you very much for coming in, guys.
Thank you.
I'm really looking forward to this discussion. John, I might start with you, if I may.
Yes.
Could you just maybe give us a high level, and I know there's many different types of veterinary medicine, many different types of practices, but just give us an overview and a sense for the veterinary business.
Yeah, Bobby, so I suppose with the veterinary profession, it is, you talk about different animals, there is the core of the mixed practitioner who does a little bit of everything, I suppose. And agriculture would have been the base of veterinary in the past, and that's where things would have started. And then small animal practitioners would have built up, and then an equine would have built up as well. So you would have equine business, small animal business, and cattle business.
Okay.
Or farm
and we pretty much have a representation of all three here this morning.
Absolutely.
Tell us about your own experience as a vet. Are you practice as a vet, but effectively you probably fell into a whole other line of business. But again, it started with working in a small animal practice.
Yeah, started with qualified in 2000. I spent 2 years in mixed practice doing that bit of everything role, and then went into a small animal role for 4 years in an orthopaedic referral hospital. And I suppose I had the ideal job. I couldn't have had a better job in veterinary, but I always had itchy feet of trying something different. So I took the plunge and went into the business side, went over to the dark side and joined a corporate company. Yeah.
Running a business, and again, I understand that the medical side is one piece of it, but the actual running of a business, is there an emergence now where a veterinary practice would employ like a practice manager who wasn't a vet, or to focus on marketing, sales, accounts, all the nuts and bolt business things?
Absolutely. It's a developing trend. It probably isn't as popular as it should be. I think most vets, I coined the phrase on the call this morning, we're accidental business people, that we're in it for the vocation, as you say, but the business side has to be done as well. And I think that a practice manager is a support. You have practices that could have 5, 10, 15, 20 employees, and you know that takes a lot of managing apart from just the medical side. So I think practice management it's a growing trend. Certainly look at other markets and other countries, it's becoming more and more popular. And I think there would be a lot of practice managers who, they have that name in the practice, but they have lots of other responsibilities. It's when it becomes a full-time role that all you do is manage the practice. That's where we're progressing to that level, but not quite there yet.
Okay, let's look at the equine veterinary end of things. And I'm delighted to be joined by Rosalinda Devereaux. Rosalinda, you're very welcome to the programme. An American vet working in Ireland. Tell us about how you found yourself to this Emerald Isle.
Good morning, Bobby. Yes, I've taken a slightly different route and have a slightly different background. One thing just to say in regards to running a business, I think the veterinary training on its own is an area that needs to look at the business side of things.
Sure.
Because we're being trained to be caregivers, to diagnose diseases and problems. But the actual accounting side of things can often be amiss. Now, one thing that is different about my background from the US is that before we can go to vet school, we actually have to do a primary degree. So I went to Cornell University and did an animal science degree. But along with that, I was able to do courses in small business management and accounting. And I think that that has helped with running a business as well. But the vet training on its own, often you're coming out and you're...
It's a bit like pharmacy in some ways, you know, whereby academically you've got to be pretty much the brightest and be up there, but it doesn't really mean that you're going to be the best shopkeeper.
No, every day you have to make economic decisions in regards to your client's economic situation, the cost of your medicines and everything else, and all of that has to be communicated very clearly as you proceed with whatever you're going to do.
Let me ask you a couple of things, Rosalinda. You say that pets are often viewed as members of the family. These are small animals. So if a leg is broken, surgery will be done. If a cat has a renal disease, it will be treated. But it's not the case with a large animal practice, whereby we don't seem to have the same grow for sheep or cattle or horse, maybe horses. But in other words, there's a functional aspect, is there, to a large animal, and it's not really a domestic pet. Just talk to me a little bit about that.
Well, I think it's a difference, as you say, between a member of the family and, you know, running a farm, which is providing an income. You know, these are livestock animals or even horses that in the end of the day are going to be contributing to somebody's income.
Yeah.
And so there are economic decisions to be made. Now, equally, do you know, if the cost of putting a cow on, you know, dialysis treatment or something like that, as you say, for renal issues,
it just won't work.
It just isn't practical. Yeah. And there's be welfare issues, I think, along with that as well. So I think that it's, you know, there are different economic decisions being made.
Okay. We're talking vets here, and we've got three in studio. Don't miss the opportunity. 53106, only 30 cents. Any problems you have there with the animals, get them into us here. We'll see if we can deal with them. Let me bring our third guest in now, Frank Clerken. He's a farm animal vet in Cavan, runs two practices. Frank, you're very welcome to the programme.
Morning, Bobby. How are you?
Frank, tell us a little bit about yours. Is essentially a family business. There's a number of you working in the practice, in two practices, I understand.
Well, we have a practice in Goodhill that originally father set that up. He's been a vet since 1974, and then I qualified in 2002. I suppose in that time he had different people worked with him, and he had various, at one stage it was very, very difficult in Ireland to get a vet. Probably still is very, recruitment in Ireland is still very difficult to get vets, even though you'd imagine that with the number of people that qualify that they'll be readily available, it can be very hard to get a vet, and one, when you get a vet, get a good vet. So in 2002 I qualified and I started to work with him, and at that stage we developed our small animal practice, and then I have two other brothers and they're both vets as well, so they were coming into the practice, so it was an obvious need that it was either going to, they were going to have to go away or it was going to have to get bigger. So at that stage then practice in Virginia, we took over a practice in Virginia from a guy in Virginia, he was retiring. And somewhere along the line, we picked up a poultry practice, that we got involved with a poultry practice. So I suppose not so much that we set out to do these things, we sort of fell into them, and one thing led to another, and little by little it got bigger. So you just found A led to B, led to C.
And is it like any, I suppose, business, Frank, that the more income streams you have, the more areas that you can cover, as you say, like poultry farms, being a specialist area, small animals, going out and doing the calving and whatever, you know, that you're in a number of different aspects of veterinary through the family business, that it gives you, if one is down, you can focus on another. Does it allow you?
The big thing I have found as you get, you know, there's always a notion that, well, if you're going to do something, you have to be a specialist and you have to go in one direction and one direction only. If you cover a series of streams, you take from A, you know, you take what you've learned. See, there's a big focus in farm animal now at the minute on herd health and knowledge transfer. But if you take a lot of what you see being done in the poultry industry over the last number of years for herd health, flock health, because you've got a big number of animals and you don't approach them on an individual basis, so you have to look at the whole herd, you have to look at the whole flock, and you're thinking more prophylactically, how do you prevent disease, how do you best care for the animals to make sure that there's not going to be a problem in 6 months, 8 months, 10 months, and that you're planning forward. But getting back to the point about the farm animal, the one thing I think, maybe it's just the area in which we live, but definitely at an individual level, farmers will do everything. They're still very much attached to the animals that they have.
Yeah.
And even though you go out to a guy and he's got one sick cow or one sick sheep, he'll do his damnedest to make sure that animal gets better. You know, they're not...
It's not a pure mercenary, commercial thing.
It's not. Some of the better guys, and you'd imagine, oh God, he's got such a large herd, surely in the scheme of things. But most of these guys' attitudes is, look after them all equally, and they'll all be with you at the end of the year. So among Irish farmers, they still have a great grow for their animals, which is good to see. You know, that it hasn't become so commercially driven that everything is just a unit, a livestock unit. There are still, if you're at farm level at the minute, you go out this morning, brothers are out there working, fathers out there working.
It's not too intensified.
It's not. No, yeah. There is still a very direct link between the people on the ground and their actual animals.
John, can I ask you about Veterinary Ireland and the role that what exactly does that do for vets? What services do you actually provide?
a number of services. I mean, our role is to promote the veterinary profession and to help our members to grow and to develop. We I suppose the, one of the core things we provide is education. So we, every year we have a number of conferences where it is about educating and upskilling vets to for that continuous professional development. We also have things like financial services was set up, you know, in the last number of years to allow vets to get access to good financial advice to help in terms of personal and business financial decisions. And then we work with the government in terms of legislation, trying to promote animal welfare,
right.
Things like compulsory microchipping. We're involved in those discussions. So we're trying to involve ourselves in every element of where animals are affected and for the good of the animal and hopefully helping the profession as well at the same time. And so, yeah, and we're essentially a trade union as well for our employed members. Yeah. We're also their trade union, but really it's about the representation side.
Can I ask about technology and its influence on the profession? Like, Rosalinda, what sort of things are you seeing now, you know, maybe that weren't there 10 years ago when you go out to an equine case or, you know, you're like, is there a lot of stuff now that can be done off site? Is there a lot of medical records that are now all online? Where is it actually?
Yeah, I think the big difference now is with the technology that we have on our phones, or some people might bring a laptop or whatever with them, that you're actually able to process payments on farm if you're traveling around. You're able to look at clinical records through the phone. So that's been a huge addition to sourcing information. We can process prescriptions.
Would
and
somebody
billing.
Send you, say, a photograph of an injured horse?
Absolutely.
Or something like that and say, look, what do you... And then you could make a decision, maybe I need to get out there or maybe we need... So that kind of thing would be useful.
That thing happens, and equally if you go out to a horse that's has a very bad wound, you might take a photograph of it on day one. Some of it might be for insurance aspects if you have to write a report, but equally then you go back in a week or a month and you can follow up with photographs, and some of these will end up in case reports or things that you present at conferences. So, you know, some people will take videos as well, and these are all things that with the types of computer software we have now, you can add all those things into your clinical records.
Frank, can I ask you about, I see there's a, is there a calving app that you made reference to there, that farmers are actually using now. Tell me, how does that work?
There's a neighbour of ours, and he has a farm just down the road from us. He's only about a mile from where we live. And occasionally he'll get a call at 2 o'clock in the morning, where his moo call is after going off. It's a device that's attached to the cow's tail. And if he's not there, or he's not going to be back for 20 minutes, or he's at something or other, we're as likely to probably get the text message from his moo call, or a call directly related to the text message he's after getting from his moo call. It basically tells you this cow's on the point of calving.
Wow.
And so...
That's really
up
interesting.
Getting away, but in the I remember with the first computer actually coming into our practice. At this stage, you get up in the morning and you're saying, "Have I this charged? Have I that charged? Have I the other charged?" And you have everything, and you land out somewhere and say your remote computer for your Tusk is not charged up. In trouble, you're back to the book. The thing is, so even when you go onto farms nowadays, like there are technology just blossoms on farms because farmers reinvest and they keep putting the money back in. And then, as well as that, I find you go into the office now, you have your blood machines, you have your x-ray machines, you have your scanners, you have all the medical equipment. It's sort of like your scaled down hospital. You have all this stuff, and with it comes, it has to be kept serviced and it has to be kept up to date, and you're all the time changing it. You find yourself pulled in on the side of the road so often, and what are you doing? You're checking your WhatsApp, see somebody has a clinical from one of the Excel boys has put up a clinical case, and you're looking at that.
Yeah.
Or you find yourself, you're getting reports coming in all the time. It's great, but sometimes you find for the actual physical nature of actually getting your work done, you have that much coming at you
technology is a slave to it.
And put it to one side and designate nearly time in the day. Right, that's when we do all the reporting. That's when you get back to all the information that you're getting from here, there and everywhere, and take time to actually sit down, go through it individually, and then get on with your clinical work.
I knew the texts would start coming in. Bobby, can you ask your vets, please, what's the best way to deal with a weanling foal with Ephysitis, is it? Ephysitis. Anybody going to help me with that? Because I sure as hell can't tell you, folks.
Well, that's probably my field of expertise. Effectively, what they're talking about is an inflammation of the growth plates. So quite often this time of year when we have weanlings, it could be that the ground that they've been on has been maybe a bit rough. It can also be you have to look at their nutrition and the amount of protein that they're getting. Sometimes people are inclined to, they're trying to prepare their foals for sales that are coming up now in November and December, and they might be on too high a plane of nutrition.
Okay.
And giving them a bit of copper supplement often can counteract these problems with epiphysitis is the word.
Thank you for having me. I thought no one was going to come to my aid there and I was going to be left to solve the problem on my own. Listen, it's been wonderful talking to you. It's a fabulous profession. Just finally, before we go, the work-life balance, there's a kind of a romantic, all creatures great and small, kind of out in the outdoors, and it's all this idyllic, but it's got to be a tough job. It's got to be, you know, late nights, in the middle of the night, all emergency calls. But is it Rosalind? Is it a lifestyle that you'd recommend?
I think it is a lifestyle that you have to recommend, but I would recommend. But I always say to people, you have to think of yourself as well, and you know, if you have a family at home, look after them too, and give them the time. Get someone else to provide cover for you, and don't just be out on call 24 hours a day the whole time, because you will burn out if you go down that route.
Okay, there you have it, folks. All creatures, great and small. Big thanks to my vets who came in to me this morning in the studio, Dr. John O'Connor, Dr. Rosalinda Devereaux, and Frank Clerken from Cavan there, representing the northeast of the country with his great veterinary empire. Thanks very much.